Last time on The Atheists, the Bible, and No Wardrobe, we read from Genesis 14, verse 12, through Genesis 15, verse 12. Good old Abe is asking God if he can become a dad, so God tells him to go cut up a bunch of animals, lay all the pieces in a big Frankenstein pile on an altar, then lay down and take a nap. This leads me to believe that God knows fuck all about how sex works.
Hello and welcome back to The Atheists,
The Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast. That was a great recap you did there, Connie. That was hilarious.
Oh, I'm blushing.
Yes. As I recall, we left off at 15:12 in Genesis, so we are going to pick it up here at 15:13.
15:13, and he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years.
They're going to serve them. I mean, do they stop up at Wendy's or the local Pick and Save, or not Pick and Save, but
Denny's.
Your waffle joint. I'll take waffles and chicken. I hear that's really good. I don't know why, but it just, for some reason.
I know. Doesn't that sound like a strange combination? That sounds like a strange combination.
It does. It really does. Now, there is a notation here about this particular one here. Now, it's asking how long was the Egyptian captivity? Now, in Genesis, it says that 15:13, what you just said, it says here, it was for 400 years, basically. And later on in Acts 7:6, it repeats it. It says that they were also for 400 years. But later on in Exodus, which I know we're kind of giving spoilers here, now it says the same thing, but it says it's now 430 years. So another Bible contradiction there for you.
Aw, potato, patata.
Yeah. What's 30 years? It's just 30 years. Just put an extra 3 on there. So, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, right.
5:14, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Is this a beauty contest? I don't know. Is a car judging thing? And afterward they shall come out with great substance. Okay.
All right.
Is he just had to, will they come out with great substance? That sounds kinky, Connie. I'm just saying, just like, I got a great substance for you, baby.
I don't know. He's got, you know, I hate that they're using just they and thee and them, and I don't know who they're
talking
about.
I've lost track of who the hell they're talking about.
So, evidently, somebody's going to come out of this with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, 15:15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Aw.
Well, I'm glad you'll be buried in a good old age. I mean, I'd hate to be buried at a good young age.
We shall bury no Abram before his time. God. Much better when you hear the original guys saying it, though.
Yeah.
I should know that actor's name, and I forget it. But also, I'll just move on. Orson Welles,
there you go. We shall have no picante sauce before its time. 15:16. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I guess they just didn't get enough to eat. Actually, there's another notation here about how many generations from Abraham to Moses. And that one was apparently jumping ahead here. It says that that in Genesis 21:1-3, Abraham called for his name and his son was born unto him. Later was Sarah. And there's a lot of notations here. So, I'm not going to go through all.
Each one is a generation. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 generations.
Yeah.
Each one would say, okay, and so-and-so had so-and-so.
Okay,
and
yeah.
So there's six generations between Abram and Moses.
Right. Okay, now I'm looking at that better now.
Yeah, Math is not God's strong suit.
Apparently not. Yeah, and this one, yeah, in Genesis, it says that, yeah, there's four generations, and now there's more than four generations. So, yeah, you're right. God apparently doesn't know how to do numbers, you know. I am not going to put God on my accounting team. I'm telling you, because I'm gonna end up going to jail for tax fraud. Oh, wait a minute. A few of them already did because they believed in God and they used God's numbers, apparently. Just saying, they know who they are. Robertson. Baker.
Hovind. Kent Hovind.
Hovind. Hovind. Hovind.
15:17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces.
So, well, imagine that. The sun went down and it got dark. Because, and, well, obviously this perfectly proves that they are not in Alaska.
Well, not during a couple times of the year.
At least, a couple times a year, yeah.
That summer solstice thing.
Yeah.
A smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Sun went down, it was dark. When it was dark, there appeared from out of nowhere a burning lamp between the pieces of dead animal.
Ew.
Oh, I forgot that we have this whole pile of dead animals.
Oh.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I should have refreshed my memory.
Oh.
So evidently this lamp is just like floating there.
It's a floating lamp.
Okay.
Oh, nice. I'm well, now we're really getting into the magic tricks, apparently. The lamps are now flying and they're possessed, apparently.
Evidently.
Yeah, but they don't. No one's no religious person's out arguing against magic or against lamps, you know.
I think it's swamp gas.
Well, I think they're all. I think they've been smoking something. To be honest, 15:18. In the same day, the Lord. I'm going to put some trumpets in here somewhere. Maybe make a covenant with Abraham, saying, "Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Okay, you could just easily just said, "Hey, you can have the land from here to that, from this river to that river." Just point it out, you know.
Wow, that's kind of vague.
Yeah, it is vague. It is. Apparently, this is God's promises Abraham's descendants from land from Canaan to the from the Nile to the Euphrates. But according later on in Acts 7:5 and Hebrews 11:13, God's promises was not filled. So, I guess God lied again. How many lies do we have now for God? I'm up to like four, five.
Oh, I haven't been keeping count. I guess I should have.
We should probably go. We'll eventually should go through these again and figure out where the hell God's lying.
Broken promises.
Broken promises. I won't put that as a lie. I'll put it as a broken promise. There we go. I got it written down on my hand now so I can look at it later.
Well, the other side note was here. What are the borders of Israel?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm kind of curious about that. What borders Israel here? It's a graphic.
Holy cats. It looks like they're the Saudi Arabian Peninsula.
Yeah, part of Iraq is where Syria, Iraq, part of Iraq, and the Jordan and were Egypt and part of Egypt there and part of Saudi Arabia. So, but you know what? This is such a small piece of land compared to the goddamn whole universe.
Well, he doesn't want to give them to get too uppity.
Don't get too uppity here.
I don't think they've ever had that.
Yeah.
That's probably the point. So we are up to
15:19.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites. More ites.
The more ites. It's the KKK.
You know, one of those annoying parents that name every one of their kids the same the same first letter. Yeah,
because why not? Because it's like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to give them all a name that has a start with the same letter as mine. Yeah, that'll show her.
That way, all that mail that comes in, I can just say, oh, I just happened to open it.
Yeah. Started with my letter. I obviously, you know. 520. And the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephians. Rephians. Whatever the fuck that is. I have no idea.
Rephaim.
Yeah, Rephians. I don't know.
I'm Rephaim. I am. That didn't work out very well. Okay. And 1521, and the Amorites and the Canaanites. Oh, there they are again.
There they are.
And the Girkenshites.
Girkenshites.
They make pickles. And the Jebusites.
The Girgashites.
Jeb.
The Girgashites. Yeah, those are the pickle makers, apparently.
Yeah, Girkenshites. And the Jebs. Tell you all.
See, that's where bushes came from. Jeb. That's where they got Jeb. Jebusites. That's Jeb. That's president. That was one of the president's brothers, Jeb. An ex-president. Not this president, obviously. Yeah, an ex-president. Yeah.
Maybe he'll still be the vice president. You never know.
Oh, no. Now we're finally moving into chapter 16.
Woohoo!
Yay! We're almost done with this book, right, Connie?
No.
Oh, damn! Dash my hopes.
And I will start out with verse 1.
Okay.
Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar.
The horrible?
She made slax, I think.
See, now apparently Sarah was the first of a long line of barren women. Sarai?
Well, yeah. Sarai. Her name isn't Sarah yet.
Well, no, that's what I'm reading here from the side. It says Sarah.
Oh,
that's
not accurate.
Someone screwed up somewhere. So it says Sarah, Sarai, whatever. Sarah is the first of a long line of barren women who were desperate for children. In the Bible, the women who are barren... never the men. It's never the men's fault.
Exactly.
No, the men are always shooting with full ammunition.
No blanks there.
No blanks there, yeah. And she sends Abram into her slave, Hagar, so that she can obtain children by her. Abraham gladly complies. So this is polygamy, basically.
Well, it's
polygamy because you don't necessarily have to be married to the other woman. There's a lot of couples today who practice polygamy where they where you have relations with more than one couple or one family or whatever. And that's,
well, we tend to call that an open marriage,
yeah,
don't we? But it's and that's interesting because the traditional idea of polygamy is that you actually are married. But in this case, this Sarai's handmaid, her servant,
yeah,
her maid, is, you know, her property, and so she can do with it as she wants.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So, the maids are to be a slave. Right?
Yeah, the maids are property. They don't. You can do it. You can treat them any which way. Bend them over and go, yeah, baby, yeah, yeah.
She has no say in this.
Yeah, exactly. None. You're gonna get pregnant. You're gonna get pregnant. Bear my kid, and then I'm gonna get rid of you because it's my kid now. Okay. Whatever. 16:2, and Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. See, now we're getting dirty. it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Okay. All right, this is kind of gross. I mean, well, it's not gross. Hey, if you're into that kind of shit, go ahead. But you know what? The thing is, it wouldn't be Sarah's kid. It would be his kid, not hers. I mean, the wife's kid. I mean, she could claim to raise it as her own kid, but it technically wouldn't be a biological link there between her and the kid.
This is a Jerry Springer episode in the making.
It is. It really is.
This never works out. Threesomes never work out. Really.
Well, I
really
don't know about that. I mean,
well,
I'm just saying.
Okay. I don't think. I don't. I think your motives have to be pretty clear. Killing ants do this kind of crap because, yeah, usually this does not end well, you know, because again, she's not saying, you know, I like my handmaiden, and I think that you need more love than I can give, and I really think she's nice. No, Sarah wants something out of this. She wants the kid,
Yeah, she
and
wants the
so
kid.
her motives are really selfish, and
Yeah, that
Abram
is,
is
you know,
just
that
like,
you're right. That's a very, it is a selfish motive. It's
yeah.
like, I want a kid, even though I can't have one, I'm going to get somebody else to, I'm not going to ask her. I'm going to make her give me her a kid that she bared for me. That's being selfish. I thought God didn't like people being selfish. Maybe that, no, that comes later. So that doesn't matter now. So you can be selfish all you want.
Now you see, and Abram is actually, he's making sort of the same mistake that Adam did, you know, because he just says, "Hey, here, take this," and he does. And so then I have to say, Abram's acting like a guy. Is that sexist of me to say that?
He's a guy. Yeah, it's like,
That
oh,
is.
okay, honey, if you really want me to fuck the maid, I will. Oh, the things I do for you. Yeah, but don't
No.
enjoy it. You can fuck her, but don't enjoy
It's okay. I'm looking at the back of her head anyway.
it.
I'm sorry, people.
No, there's
I
no,
think.
you get puppies that way. You know, they prove that in the Bible. If you do it from behind, you get puppies.
16:3. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. And Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband, Abram, sorry, to be his wife.
Yeah, it was after Abram had dwelt for 10 years. You
Okay.
skipped the word there. Sorry.
Sorry,
That's okay. No, but this is, it doesn't. It's,
Okay, they
yeah,
just
it's like
say
so.
how long they've been there
Yeah.
and
It gave the husband to the wife. I was like,
to be his wife.
to be his
So
wife. So
he's got
so this is okay. So he is now married to two women. Okay, for all those people who think that the Bible says one man, one woman. No, it's one man and two women here.
Okay, so
So and
so
who and who
he
names?
put a ring on it.
Yeah, he put a ring on that finger. That's right. And who says that anybody or any woman named Hagar is going to be a good looker? I'm just saying. That had to have been a difficult birth for the mother. It was like, oh my God, that's Hagar. Oh. Just get it away from me now. I just, ugh.
Well, you know, Sarai has already been noted as being really, really, really beautiful. So she doesn't think that Hager's a threat.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't
Oh,
know.
she's wife number two. I'm still head wife here, so no big deal.
She's still property.
Yeah, she's still property regardless. Yeah. 6-4 or 16-4. I almost said 6-4. No, we're not going back that way.
No, I refuse.
I refuse to go back. 16-4. And he went into Hagar. see, there's the, just say they're fucking, okay? He started to fuck Hagar. Is like, but no, they have to use the language that's not objectable, you know. He went into her,
No, unto.
or onto her, you know, or
Yeah,
onto
I
her.
know.
It's like,
I guess he was under. I
well,
don't
he was
know.
kind of in. Well, he was into her, you know. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
And she conceived immediately. Well, it does. Whoa, that's a fast birth. I mean, he just pulls up and boom, there's a baby. Whoa. There's nothing. There's no context of what happened in between there. You know, just he's like he's getting the job done, obviously, because
we're establishing who is the dysfunctional person in this marriage, right?
ah, yeah,
It
it's
isn't
obviously the
and not,
woman.
nothing wrong with the man.
No, he made her pregnant, so obviously it was her pro it's her fault. It's the woman.
Sarai's
It's always
fault.
the woman's fault. Guys never do anything wrong.
Never. No.
I didn't quite finish this line. And then when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Okay, you asked her to give birth to a kid that you wanted, and now you're despising her because she gave birth. Make up your fucking mind. I mean,
Wait,
really.
her mistress was despised in her eyes. I think that's Hagar.
Yeah, that
Using. I wish they wouldn't use just the general she or he or they, because you lose track. Her mistress. The mistress is Sarai.
The mistress is in this context. It's Hagar.
Okay.
It's Hagar is the mistress because he was already married, and she's the second wife, so he would be the mistress, or she would be the mistress.
But okay, in this whole.
That's why I'm reading
it. In this whole sentence, okay, and he went unto Hagar. He obviously is Abram, Hagar, and she conceived.
Right.
So she is Hagar. And when she saw that she had conceived,
mm-hmm.
her mistress, because her mistress is the person she's serving. It's not the
mistress. I'm using a different context of the word mistress. Okay, I get
and
it.
Okay, this is how I've always heard it interpreted in church and in Sunday school and all that, is that Hagar was like, well, guess what? I'm hot stuff and you suck.
Right. Okay. I get you now. Okay. Mistress, it's not her mistress. Like, hey, the mistress down the street that you're banging, away from the wife, you know, down at the Hotel Six.
I don't watch soap operas. So it's really,
I don't either. I used to when I was a kid. I used to watch them when I was a kid because I was bored.
When I was younger, but life has too much drama.
Oh yeah, I don't need that extra drama. Yeah,
and you need a scorecard to keep track of this stuff. So this is not all right. So anyway, Hagar's like, yeah, well, you're not so hot.
Yeah.
So 16:5, and Sarai said unto Abram, "My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee."
I'm lost.
I am too.
I'm lost. All right. Sorry,
read the next. Maybe the next sentence.
Yeah, let's read the next line, because this line is just
basically saying that Hagar, you know, is.
All right, now Hagar is now pissed. All right, somebody is pissed off at somebody here. There's no context of who's who anymore. 16:6, but Abram said unto Sarai, "Behold, thy maid is in thy hand." Is your maid is really tiny? You can fit her in your hand? Wow. "Do to her as it pleases thee." And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. She fled from her face. She just left her face right there. It's like that's a cartoon. She's just like, ah, and you leave, and the face just hangs there in midair, you know. But it looks like to me in this line is mm-hmm. that Abram is saying to his wife Sarai, "Say, hey, the maid is yours. Do with her what you please." And Sarai apparently went to, you know, fuck with her. It says, "Hey, this is my husband. Fuck off. And I if you don't get the fuck out of here, I'm gonna fucking kill your ass."
She could have beat her. She could have, yeah. You know, cut off her food, you know, rations or something. But yeah, so Abram,
she caused her to flee. Yeah.
Yeah, Abram's basically reminding her, say, "Yeah, well, guess what? I don't have to do diddly shit. I've done my part. She's your handmaid. Do whatever you want." So. Yeah. You know, I see him washing his hands of this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, woman, you told me to go fuck her so you could have a kid. And now this woman is like saying, "Hey, that's my kid because I gave birth to it. I don't want to give it up." Maybe, you know, I'm just saying maybe that's possibly what happened here. And yeah. The wife is going, "You know what? No, you're just the servant. You're the help. I'm in control here. You get the fuck out of here, or I'm going to fucking beat you." Or she did beat her, and she fucking took off and left the kid there.
Well, she doesn't take, no, she, well, we'll find out what happens.
Yeah, let's find out what happens. I'm curious what happens now.
You are the father. 16:7. "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur."
Sure.
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 Sure. Yeah, sure. Found her. Found in the wilderness. Oh, okay. Why was that important? And the Lord found her?
Hagar's not a fool. Hagar's not a fool. She rightly reasoned that mm-hmm. she was given to Abram because her her mistress couldn't have a kid. Her mistress is actually saying, yeah, well, this is going to be my kid. And looked down her nose at her. And when she ran away, she found water.
Right. Well, so my problem here with the line is that the angel of the Lord had found her. Like, all right, if this is an angel of the Lord, okay, wouldn't the angel of the Lord have the same or similar knowledge to know where everybody is? I mean, don't angels have that ability? I mean, don't they? It's like they're told. Does this? It would mean to me if they're actively out looking for them. It's like, there you are. Oh, I was looking everywhere for you. You were in the last place I looked.
Well, then you stop looking.
Yeah.
I keep looking, just in case
I'm in an alternate dimension or an alternate reality. I might have another wall laying around somewhere.
Well, if God gives directions as well as he keeps count, then I can see why the angel probably had a little bit of wandering to do.
Yeah, true, true. I grant you that. 16:8, and she said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither with thou go? Wow. And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai.
I wasn't aware that servants were allowed to wander like that or just run off. You know?
Yeah.
But I guess maybe.
Well, yeah, they're slaves. Usually, and these were
I
just
know.
Servants. They were slaves. If
yeah.
they were to do shit like this, if they were to wander off, I mean, I'm going with, you know, what we know of modern slavery, which has happened, you know, in the last 200 years. That, you know, if a slave had taken off, they were hunted down.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not – usually they're marked somehow, too.
Yeah.
You know that they're a slave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai.
Yeah, I'm running from the face of my mistress. What is this thing about the face? Just say, hey, I fled from my mistress. Why are you fleeing from the face? Are they saying that she got in her face? I don't understand this.
I'm not quite sure why she gives up this information to the angel, too, so quickly. So
well,
easily.
I suppose
I mean,
you see a guy with wings flying down, you're going to tell everything you say.
Yep. 16:9, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands.
Okay, she just told her to fucking leave. She just fucking told her to leave, and now the angels say, no. Sarai is wrong. Sarai is wrong. You need to go back, and you need to go back. You need to go back there now. Okay,
yeah,
this is no different than saying to a person who's just been a victim of domestic abuse to go back to your spouse. Go back to your spouse because they, you know, whatever. Because
that's actually scary. How often that advice is given in churches?
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Pray for your husband or pray for your wife
mm-hmm.
And our side note here, when Hagar flees from Sarah, who's mistreating her, with Abraham's blessing, God sends an angel to tell her to go back to her abusive owner. That's love, man. That's love.
Yeah, that's.
And she's pregnant with this, you know, it doesn't matter whether this is or isn't God's plan
mm-hmm.
for how Abram's supposed to become this great father. You know, it's still this, you would think that it wouldn't matter. You would think that it wouldn't matter that this is his kid.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So it's basically, and this is basically just, it's another form of slavery too. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
16:10. We have one more time for not one more here. 16:10. And then the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly that it shall be, or it shall not be numbered for multitude. What the fuck does that mean? I will multiply thy seed.
That.
You just had a kid. I'm going to make sure you have a lot more. You're going to be doing a whole lot of fucking. Oh, yeah.
Well,
be raped.
That the angel of the Lord had that kind of authority.
I don't know. I didn't know that these angels had that kind of authority. Say you're going to get more seeds. You're going to get more. Maybe he's not saying he's just passing along the information. They'll probably use this as an excuse.
A messenger.
Yeah, they're just the messengers. They don't have any authority to say that, yeah, you're going to have more kids. They're just passing along the information that God is beaming directly into their brains, you know.
Well, you think that God should tell Sarai that she shouldn't be beating her servant then?
Oh, no, that's okay. She's a slave. She's not even a person. Slaves aren't people.
Oh, my brain hurts. Loving God.
I don't understand that. But it says, it says your seed's going to be seed exceedingly, but it shall not be numbered for multitude. Does that mean half her kids are going to die? I don't understand what that means.
You won't be able to keep count of how many kids and grandkids and great-grandkids you're going to have.
I don't want to. I'm kind of curious what that's going to mean. Anyway, we're running out of time here. If you like the show and you want to follow us on Twitter, if you're on Twitter, that is, let's go to twitter.com/ABANW podcast. If you like the show and you would like to donate a few dollars here and there to help support the show, we're over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/ABANDNW. And if you're on Facebook, and who isn't on Facebook nowadays, that's facebook.com/ABANDNW. We have a blog site. We just post the show there, so you can download it there manually if you want to. You probably already are. That's over at abandnw.wordpress.com. The show you can also find on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or you want to send us hate mail or tell us we're reading it wrong or saying something wrong, please email us over at tatbanw@gmail.com. That's tatbanw@gmail.com. And be sure to check out our main show, Packard Pokes At, which you can also find on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and also on YouTube. And if you're voting on this on any of those platforms, please leave a 5-star review. Well, 5 stars and a review. I keep messing that up. I got to rewrite my script. Leave us a 5 stars and leave a review for us on iTunes as well. Tell us how much you like the show, you hate the show, you know, whatever you want. But leave 5 stars. We like the 5 stars. So until next time, this has been The Atheists,
The Bible,
and No Wardrobe, The Podcast.